working with the Acton Institute. You will at one point hear what you are about to hear now. This is Acton, and we start on time and we end on time. And I, which is actually one of the places I learned how to start and end on time. So we're going to stand, we're going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to talk about the sacraments. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ, the true light, who enlightens and sanctifies everyone who comes into the world, imprint the light of your countenance upon us in order that we may see your unapproachable light. Direct us at every moment to work in accordance with your commandments. Through the prayers of your all-pure Mother and of all the saints. Amen. Okay, well, have a seat there, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the sacraments. Now, we've talked remember, if you remember what I said at the very beginning, the goal here is not necessarily to convince you of anything, but to give you some very big ideas to think about. Because a lot of times, I think we reduce our Christian life just to sentiment. I'm not adverse to sentiment. I have the full range of normal human feelings. I just don't think they're as important as other people do. So I think ideas are helpful because ideas help us structure our feelings. They help us structure, you know, the things that at first we might think are important. Without ideas, we end up getting swept away. And so we've talked about some ideas. We talked about creation. Why is there something rather than nothing? And then how we're going to live as a result, you know, now that we realize that there's something rather than nothing and that what there is a gift. And we talked last week about asceticism, about how it is that we keep from being swept away by the things that go on around us. It's so easy, just things happen and we just get pushed this way and that. But now we're going to be a little bit more concrete, and we're kind of moving out of those first two classes, which were more general in nature, and we're going to do things which are more specifically, clearly Orthodox, and we're going to begin by talking about the holy mysteries or the sacraments. So you with me? Okay. So we're going to try to understand what is one of the core theological insights of the Orthodox Church, which is the sacraments are that what we would understand to be that life-changing encounter with God. And I think probably the very first thing I should say before I do some of the definitions is that it's in the understanding of the Orthodox Church, the Church itself is a prophetic community. To be a Christian is to be made to become a prophet in the Old Testament sense, not as someone who predicts the future, but who talks about and who expresses with authority the will of God. So to be a Christian is to be a member of a prophetic community. We see that in preaching. We understand that in preaching, in witnessing, in evangelism, in apologetics, in pastoral care. But the sacraments are themselves also prophetic actions. They are, as we'll see in a minute, God revealing His will to us in a particular time and place. So, to understand sacraments, there are two words we have to understand, one in Latin, one in Greek. The Latin word is sacramentum, from which we get the word sacrament. And sacramentum in Latin means a pledge, an agreement, a contract, a promise. And typically, it's an oath or a promise or a pledge between two or more people. So if we enter into a sacramentum, we pledge to do something together, and it binds us with our own obligation. Each party has its own obligations. The other word that, and again, that's the word from which we get the word sacrament. The other word, which is mysterion, and sometimes you'll hear the phrase the holy mysteries when referring to the sacraments. In Greek, mysterion or mystery, it doesn't mean a puzzle. It's not like Sherlock Holmes, but a mysterion is a revelation. So The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, the fifth chapter, calls marriage a great mystery. He's not saying that marriage is confusing. He's saying that it's a revelation of the love, that the love between husband and wife is meant to make visible the deep, unbreakable bond between Christ and the church. So a mysterion, a mystery, is a revelation, a bringing to light something that was, until a moment ago, hidden. When we talk about the sacraments, we talk about the holy mysteries, we shouldn't fall into thinking it's an either-or kind of concept. It's both. It's a revelation of God's truth combined with a pledge or a promise from us to cooperate with God, who in turn has promised to abide with us, sustain us, guide us as we grow into the person He created us to be. In other words, the holy mysteries is the divine promise actively being revealed and accomplished in us. Now, what's presupposed here is something about the nature of divine revelation, about the promise God makes to us, and an idea that we saw in our very first conversation. The Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann says that in the Eucharist, the church remembers the future. And if you remember all those 2 weeks ago, very long time ago, forever in undergraduate time, I mentioned that while we tend to think of things sequentially, A, B, C, D, God doesn't see things sequentially. He sees things all at once. There is no yesterday or tomorrow. In God, there is simply now. And so, what is now, the eternal now for God, for us, can be past or future. And in the sacraments, what we remember is the future. How do we remember the future? We usually think of grace as fixing something that happened in the past. God forgives our sins. However, in the tradition of the church, divine grace actually flows to us from the kingdom of God, which from our perspective is still to come. So we're remembering something that from our perspective hasn't happened yet. The sacraments are not like a stop sign, a reminder of a greater reality. Instead, they are a real, tangible experience of the kingdom of God. They are a genuine foretaste of heaven and given to us as an experience of what's going to be our ultimate destiny or vocation. This means that in the sacraments, we're accessing our future perfect self today. It's a glimpse of the perfected life we'll live fully in the kingdom of God. And St. Paul says this, "Right now we see in a mirror dimly, but the mysteries provide us a real glimpse and bridge and help us bridge the gap until we are able to see face to face." It's interesting, if you've ever been to an ordination to the diaconate or the priesthood in the Orthodox Church, episcopate, as the bishop is giving the candidate his new vestments, he'll chant "Axios, worthy." And it's always really important to remind the soon-to-be ordained that the worthy doesn't mean about today. It means what we hope will be true about you at the end of your life. It's the same that happens in marriage. You know, we talk about how happy the bride and groom are, how beautiful the bride looks, and we think that it's about what's going on right now, and it is in a way. But also when we see that look on their faces, that happiness, that joy, we're also getting a glimpse of the kind of people they're going to be at the end of their lives. In the sacraments, we see who we are going to be. And if you think about it for a minute, being able to grasp who I'm going to be is how I get through today more often than not. If I think about all the stuff I've done, well, it's very hard for the past to keep me faithful. But if I think about who I'm going to be, then I keep moving. In fact, Fidelity isn't really worth anything unless I'm moving towards the future. Never in the history of the world has one spouse said to another, but I've been such a good spouse until this moment. What do you what do they want to know? Are you going to be a good spouse tomorrow? You're going to be a good husband, a good wife. So even in our ordinary life, the future is very important to us. So sacraments are not merely formal religious rituals or external acts of obedience, but something that is truly life-altering. The grace we receive is not passive forgiveness. It's an act of power, the energy of the kingdom of God. It gives us the strength to act, to forgive, and to live as if the final victory has already been won. The thing is, and we all know this, if we're trying to do something important, we need a map, we need a guide. And together with the ascetical tradition of the church, the sacraments are a map for the journey. Baptism, chrismation, Eucharist, penance, matrimony, holy orders, holy unction, taken together, these cover the whole span of life from birth into the life of faith, into how we're healed and fed, and how we're going to pass into the kingdom of God. Before I look at those sacraments just really quickly, I want to point out that listing exactly seven sacraments is something the Orthodox Church adopted from the Catholic Church. The older, more encompassing Orthodox view holds that everything in the life of the church, everything that the church does, is in fact a sacrament or mystical. I remember when I first became Orthodox, I was having a conversation with a Presbyterian friend, a Presbyterian minister, and he wanted to know how many sacraments there were in the Orthodox Church. And I said, well, some say seven, which is the conventional numbers. Others say 11. Some say two. But really, after a while, you realize that everything is a sacrament. Everything is a revelation of God's love and mercy. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the sacraments are so formal, and it's important to sort of accept the discipline of that formality, is that it helps us become attentive to things that we ordinarily would miss. So, everything is really a sacrament. But seven is kind of a helpful way of thinking about things because we have to talk to each other. And the seven sacraments cover, we might say, the essential points of life within the kingdom of God. In baptism, we learn it covers about birth. Chrismation is about power, of having the ability, the authority, to act. The Eucharist sustains us. It's food for the journey. We're healed in penance and holy unction. And marriage and holy orders, ordination, reminds us that we're members of a community, that we're not just individuals left to our own devices. Now, we'll look at the other five sacraments later, but for now, keep in mind that every part of our personal and shared life of faith as Orthodox Christians is meant to become holy and participate in the life of salvation. I think this is something that we easily overlook. There isn't a part of my life that doesn't belong to God. There isn't a part of my life that isn't where I can't access or experience divine grace. Everything in my life belongs to God. And really the struggle that I have is just learning to give that which God has given me back to Him. But every journey has a beginning, and we're on the way to the kingdom of God, which we've already experienced, at least in part. And in the understanding of the Orthodox Church, we begin personally that journey in baptism and chrismation. Baptism is the moment of new birth. It's more than just a rite of passage or an external act of obedience. It's a real mystical participation in Jesus' own death and resurrection. It is literally your personal experience of Easter. And we see that in the service. It begins with the pledge, the sacramentum, where the candidate, which was you just on Sunday, Do you remember what you did? You rejected, actually, there were the prayers of exorcism where the church said, hey, you belong to Christ now. And then we ask you, have you rejected Christ and have you united yourself to him? There's that marvelous little section where you reject the devil and you spit on him. So it's a very not American thing to do, but we spit on the devil. And then you turn towards the east, and again, you accept Christ, and you profess the creed for the first time in a public fashion as an Orthodox Christian. So there is this active human promise woven right into the sacrament itself. But remember, that promise that we make is in response to the divine initiative. God offers us, calls us, and we respond. The next part of the service is the act where the person is immersed three times in the name of the Holy Trinity, and it's meant to reflect not only the physical act of dying, but also a spiritual death to our old ways of living and rising again into the new eternal life. And then finally, after you come out of the water, we clothe you with the baptismal robe, that white robe, the garment of salvation, again, to express that you've now put on the new humanity of Jesus himself. And then we sing that verse from Galatians 3:27, "For as many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So to be baptized is to put on Christ, to enter into his death and resurrection, and to begin a brand new life. But new life needs power, needs energy, which is why we have chrismation that happens right after baptism. If baptism is our personal Easter, chrismation is our personal Pentecost. It's one of the things I love about the liturgical life of the church. We spend 8 weeks preparing for Pascha, for Easter. We're all very happy about it. And then almost as soon as we've celebrated Pascha, everything in the liturgical life of the church begins to look forward to Pentecost. We fast to celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection in anticipation of the bestowal of the Holy Spirit. So it never stops at Easter. It goes on to Pentecost, and that's not just true in sacred history, it's also true in our own personal lives. So chrismation is that personal Pentecost, and it's a moment of empowerment where we become able to speak in the name of Christ. We're sealed with chrism, oil, holy oil. And again, in the New Testament, in the scriptures, oil is often a sign of the presence of the Spirit. And this oil, the Holy Spirit provides us the strength needed for the journey ahead. It's like the spiritual engine or the fuel to function in this new identity. The ritual also involves anointing over, chrismated on all parts of the body, and that is to signify that the person has literally become a Christ, small c. Christ means anointed. So in chrismation, we become ourselves another Christ because we have been united with him. Taken together, baptism and chrismation are referred to as holy illumination. Finally, I know what my life is about. I don't just know what my life is about. Now I have the power to go and to live that life. But it's the beginning, it's not the end. It's not even close. Receiving the mysteries is not like getting a diploma. It's more like being issued your tactical gear so you can go on a mission. And this mission requires cooperation. Divine grace is freely given, but it requires our cooperation, our synergy. We become co-workers with Christ for that grace to bear fruit. Our job is to take this new life that we've received and actively live it. Now, this is something that I think it's important to notice, to spend just a second on, because we're almost done. Sometimes when people talk about the church, they are very good at talking about how wonderful we are, and yay, good for us. But sometimes I think it's important to stop and point out that sometimes we misunderstand things. It's one thing to have received the sacraments. It is another thing to be evangelized. You can be sacramentalized. You can go through all the rituals of the church, but if you haven't been evangelized, if you haven't made a personal, conscious, daily choice to live out this new life, committing yourself to Christ as His disciple, well, the grace of the sacraments don't really do you much good. And again, you can get married, but if you don't put in the effort, there's no joy in being married. In fact, marriage without effort is dreary and painful. You know, the grace that we receive in the mysteries, it's not magic. It's an incredible gift, and there's a constant wellspring of strength to be found there, but we need to actually act on what we've been given, which is why we go to confession, we receive Holy Communion, because these are the means by which we become more fully who we are created to be. Anyway, Holy Mysteries are woven into the very fabric of our relationship with God. For an Orthodox Christian, there is no relationship with God outside the sacraments, just because the sacraments are what that relationship looks like. They pull the future into the present and give us the ability to live an eternal life starting today. The question, though, is if these revelations are a true foretaste of heaven, how does that change the way we live right here and now? And I think this last question is where a lot of times Orthodox Christians fall down a little bit. Lovely tradition that we want to keep on the shelf and look at. And that's not me, by the way. That's the late Father Alexander Schmemann. He was very critical of Orthodox Christians who turned the church into a museum. But I'm going to stop because I try to keep it to no more than 20 minutes. So it's your turn. Do you have questions? I've said many things, and presumably you